Okay, hi everybody. My name is Steve and I'm Feather. We're hanging out with a cool cat I'd like to introduce you to. Why don't you give us your handle?
Hi, I'm the Cheshire Catalyst, Richard Cheshire, and I'm out of Florida these days. Live on the Space Coast.
We're hanging out at DEF CON 9 here in Las Vegas. So this is your first DEF CON, right?
My first DEF CON, yeah. I usually help out with the HOPE conferences in New York, the Hackers on Planet Earth, the 2600 magazine, the DEF CON. And we have a good time there. And I usually wind up a little much more respectful than I expect when I get over there. But we handle it. We have a pretty good time. And you kind of seem to like it as well.
Cool. Well, what's your impression of DEF CON? And after that, let's have your impression of HOPE.
Well, you have to realize I come from a background of science fiction conventions. So I'm sure there are all sorts of things going wrong backstage, behind the scenes, because I've helped them run conventions myself. But looks fine to me, having a great time talking to people, which is really what the con is about. And making contacts, just saying hello, sitting by the poolside with a beer and chatting with people and jumping into conversations and just mellowing out.
Cool, so you sound like you're enjoying yourself. And
I really am. Yeah, I'm glad I can.
Awesome. And now, so Emmanuel's doing another Hope Con.
There will be an H2K2 next year in 2002. And I don't know much of the details myself yet. As I say, I'm out of Florida. I do what I can when I show up. And after that, I do the post-convention webpage. Okay. That's something I can do while not being in New York.
Right. Okay. And how would you describe... I've never been to one yet. I'm dying to go, and hopefully I'm going to hit this next one. How would you describe the conference?
A lot like what you see in the main rooms here. We have a program. There are sessions you can go to. If you're a Fed, you can sell this to your expense account, okay? But after hours, when the Feds go out to dinner because they've got the expense account they can afford to eat out, we bring in pizza, and we're in the network room, you know, messing about, again, the chatting, the running from conversation to conversation, Mr. Ohm showing off the ancient history of the 1980s and 70s, and I even bring in my Model 100 and show that off. We hooked that up last year, Model 100 to an 80M3, and had to set them up for half duplex to at least see what you were typing when you were talking to the other guy.
Very cool.
We had a great time.
Sounds awesome. And we'll put all the websites and all the stuff there, too. So let's go back to the science fiction conventions. Mm-hmm. What science fiction conventions have you been to?
Well, I try to get to the WorldCon, the World Science Fiction Convention. It'll be in Philadelphia this year, which for 2001 is the Millennium PhilCon.
Okay.
And they've been waiting for this one for decades, believe me. I usually go to the cons in Florida because it's about all I can usually get to, afford to get to, because I have a very menial job in Florida, but it lets me hang around and watch things go up from Kennedy Space Center across Indian River, and that's why I live there.
Wow.
I am a space cadet.
Awesome. What are some of your authors that you're hardcore?
Hardcore fan of Robert Heinlein, Isaac Asimov, Larry Niven, engineering fiction.
All right. Did you read his Saturn's Race book, Larry Niven's Saturn Race?
Oh, I haven't gotten to that one.
Somewhat
yet,
current.
No.
Yeah, I don't know, this year or last year or something like that.
Oh, I'll have to dig that one out.
Well, I'll ask you that question again.
Okay.
See ya. That really blew me away. Also, you're involved in some different publications. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, I used to publish the TAP newsletter for Phone Freaks and Computer Crackers back in the 70s and 80s. And when Tom Edison, who was publishing it, had his apartment firebombed, I got a phone call, "Get this crap out of my house or it's all going in the dumpster." So me and my roommate rented a truck, dragged it all out, and kept the zine going for another year or so before. I'm not a businessman. Never really have been. And I just couldn't keep it afloat. But we did what we could. We kept it going for that extra year so that whoever firebombed it knew that they hadn't stopped us. You know, my lack of business skills, they had stopped us, but that was, you know, the endeavor was still there. Every Friday night, though, we had a meeting in Greenwich Village. We'd all meet at a restaurant. It was Friday, it was specific. Excuse me. When TAP started its meetings, they were Wednesday nights, because that was the evening Tom could come into the city and work on the zine in the office that had been rented. When he finally gave up the office for being too costly, he still came in on Friday nights, and that was chosen so that anyone else who wanted to could come in for the weekend and could, you know, come to a TAP gathering, and it was free form, conversations, jump from table to table, a weekly mini convention, basically, but among the regulars that usually showed up, and every once in a while somebody from out of town would come in. Whole thing was set up to be real friendly. I did a trip to the West Coast once and found that there were all these different little groups, you know, all throughout Southern California, and they didn't talk to each other and they weren't very friendly, and they all competed for information. And here we were in New York. You send us what you got, we publish it. You know, we're share the knowledge was the mantra. And we're all into this intellectual challenge of finding out more about the phone system or about how computer architecture works and networks and this, that, and the other. And the concept of user groups is something I've always found to be helpful, because they tell me what I don't know yet about this machine, and, oh, well, what I figured out about this machine is, oh, yeah, that's the key piece I needed to know to get this done. And you share, you pool, you come together, and you get things done. You learn more that way. Mm-hmm. And you have more fun with people. What can I say? You know, that's where I come from, is trying to help spread that knowledge, share the knowledge. What I do now, I was working for many years for a woman in Titusville who had published a small newsletter called Space Launch News. And she basically sold to the tourists along the Indian River, and I volunteered to help her out with it because it was getting the information out. These tourists, they came to Orlando to Disney World and SeaWorld and Universal Studios. Many of them had no concept that a launch was scheduled during their vacation time. They heard, they came to the Indian River to watch. And so we had this information for them about the launch that they could take home with them and learn more about it, and then hopefully maybe write their Congress critters and get more funding for NASA. You know, I tried to plant that article in there in every issue. I didn't always have enough room to do that. But the woman became too ill to carry it on, and I now have a little publication called Space Launch Info. And again, I'm just pulling together some information off the NASA websites, running it off at the local copy shop, and hawking it for a buck a piece down at the river to the tourists. More for the concept of getting the information out than for making any money. You know, this is no real business. You know, I get to have a nice dinner after the launch goes up.
Can somebody else mail order this for me?
Oh, absolutely.
How can I do that?
Well, on the web, they can go to spaceyideas.com, and I should have a link up there. I'm going to space.launch.info. As we're being interviewed here, I'm in the time frame where they have approved the .info domains but have not yet issued them. And I have requested from my ISP launch.info. And this was many months ago, so I don't know how far down the queue I am. And if I get launch.info, I then set up a host, space.launch.info, which is where the magazine will reside.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And so in the meantime, I've named the magazine that in hopes that I can get the domain.
Very cool.
Yeah. It's, you know, a little bit of planning ahead, a little bit of how can I handle the system as it exists, and trying to deal with things that way.
Okay, another question. I've always read about these guys in Restoring the Magazine, like Overthrow and Blacklisted News, stuff like that.
The Yippies.
Any...
they started out with Yipster Times. Okay, and the Yippies have always been a fun revolution. And I used to hang out with some of the guys, Aaron Cave, Yippie Pie Man, and the most dangerous man on the planet was Dana, and I forget what Dana's last name was, the guy who edited Yipster Times.
Dana Beale?
Yes, Dana Beale, thank you. Right. I consider him the most dangerous man on the planet because he had such propaganda skills. Captain Crunch, John T. Draper, got busted, well, any number of times, but this time the Yippies took up his cause. And I watched him manipulate that word processor and turn John Draper, the infamous phone freak, into a dissident scientist. And it was a marvel to behold. And then run on the streets with the thing and peddle it to the public. I personally thought they were hurting themselves when they changed the name to Overthrow, because it was a much more negative title. And they were reaching for a much more activist fringe going in the wrong direction, in my humble opinion. But, you know, I haven't heard from the guys in more than a decade myself. I have run into Aaron at the Hope conferences, though.
Wow, cool.
So he still comes around.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, Crunch usually flies into those as well.
Oh, very cool. That's, recently myself, I've relocated to Michigan, and I've been going to the Hash Bashes.
Uh-huh.
And you meet all kinds of great people at the Hash
Bashes.
Where are
you from?
I'm from New Hampshire, and I've lived in Colorado for 12 years.
Okay.
So, but it's the eastern part of America, back and forth. Okay, also, you were mentioning this area code. This new
well,
code.
Yes. In the area of hacking within the system, in 1998, they announced that they would split the 407 area code, which covered Orlando and the Space Coast. Well, I'm an old phone freak, so I know to look on the website of the North American Numbering Plan Administration. So I get up there and I find the list. You know the list, 201 New Jersey, 202 DC, blah, blah, blah. And there are these gaps available for geographic relief. Fine. I'm going down the list, I'm looking, I see this number, 321. What? Oh, three. Well, here I am in the countdown capital of the world. Shouldn't the countdown capital of the world have the area code 321? Cool. Let me power down the web browser and power up the word processor and begin preparing my testimony for the Public Service Commission hearing. So I get the Public Service Commission hearing. I am very nervous because, oh, it's such a silly idea that, of course, someone will come up with it and this will all be for naught, you know, but, of course, no one has the combination of Phone Freak and Space Cadet. Hello! I got there, I presented my idea, and the commission loved it from the get-go. Ah, just the sugarcoating we need to put on the bad news that the area code's going to split. People have to change their area code. So, they have the hearing, they, you know, go forward with this idea. The chairman of the commission came up to me after the hearing. And she said to me, you know, we went to the North American Numbering Plan Administration, and we asked them for such a list as you provided in your testimony. They told us it was proprietary. And here, you found it on the internet. We want to thank you very much for your testimony. So, the way I look at it, I asked for the area code. They approved it. It must be my area code that I share.
Very cool.
Oh, it gets worse. Yes. Once they approved the area code, I got to thinking, what number would I like in this area code? And I came up with one. I tried it. The number you have reached at Bell South Ability is not currently assigned to any user. Cool. And I go running down to the kiosk in the mall. Excuse me, I'd like 543-8632 for my cell phone number, please. Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but the fellows in Melbourne say that that number is not available at all. It's in the middle of a 100 group that's assigned to a corporate rate. No way I can get this. Okay. That was the day after the Public Service Commission hearing, of course. Well, a couple months later, my alarm radio goes off, and the NPR guy goes, our next area code will be the last three numbers the astronauts hear before they blast off from the planet Earth. I got it! All right!
Wow. Awesome.
And yeah, I knew that it was mine. And it was time to start working on the number. Bellsoundability.com. Okay. About the company. Okay. Ah, Mark Fiedler is the president. That's good to know. And, how to contact us. Okay. Ah, the email address of a publicity flag. First name underscore last name at Mark underscore Fiedler at Dear Mr. Fiedler. Blah, 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 my area code, blah, blah, blah. Would love to have 543 so that I can have the number 321 liftoff. If you dial that today, you will reach this Nokia cell phone. May have a different color. I was also a volunteer at the World Cup Games in Orlando in 94. So I have an interest in soccer. It's the game the rest of the world loves, but America is finally getting in touch with. Yeah. So that we are joining the rest of the world in something and not shoving a sport down their throats. It's that kind of concept that I like. Yeah. So I was stationed in Germany. I went to a soccer match. I saw it was the game the world loved. So they're looking around Orlando in 93, you know, for volunteers. They're going, well, an American in his right mind is going to volunteer for... I'm not in my right mind. Hello! I was a radio operator at the World Cup. But the 3-2-1 liftoff is a true hack.
Awesome.
And I am very proud and happy to have pulled that one off.
So that's a great story.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Also, I was peeking at your website last night.
Yeah.
And I know you're working on a book. Is that?
Oh, yes. In fact, I haven't had copies with me. Mark Cheshire's book. And it's called, let's see now. Of course there's secrets. They're in the manual. And basically you bring up a:index.html, because all home pages are really index.html, and it starts the book. You then go to the table of contents. You can either click next page, or click on something in the table of contents and jump there. Because it's hypertext, it reads in any browser, even links, the non-graphic browser. And that's another of my big bugaboos, is having web pages that are accessible. I have a blind girlfriend in New York City, and on web pages that are all graphics, she has a terrible time, especially when they don't use alt tags for alternate text on a graphic. And that's a terrible thing to do to somebody. You know, these kids, they were going fine with their DOS machines and getting these voice synthesizers to read the stuff to them. Windows came out and they're back to square one. They're finally getting back to where they can operate in Windows, and now all the web pages are going graphic. Or Java. Flash. Oh, Flash. I hate Flash because you have to have Flash to go to some websites. Why are you keeping me out? You know, I'm also, as a hacker, too afraid of Flash and Java that somebody might put something in there to do some evil to my machine. So I don't want fancy stuff in my machine. And I'm usually too poor to run machines with lots of memory, and you know, I don't want this stuff fogging up what little resources I have in my machine. So Flash, I never take Flash. I'd rather not have Java, but I'm forced to on many. And I am a crusader for low bandwidth access to the internet. And so my book is also low bandwidth. There are illustrations. It's got a bunch of graphics on here. The hyperlinks will get you to sites on the internet. My launch FAQ page is on here, which answers frequently asked questions for space launches. I've got my coffee stories. Have dozen different stories about my drug of choice, caffeine. bunch of other stuff. Basically, it's about a dozen or so different web pages from four or five different websites that I do. One of the websites I handle wanted to have links to the software to download for different functions. So that's on here too. Where to pick up Docomi, which is another disk I carry in my pouch. Basically, it's email on a disk. And oops, getting caught up with stickers here. Oh no, did I leave it on a computer somewhere? I think I did. Oh dear, I'm dead meat now. But it's just a copy of Docomi, which is email software that fits on a floppy. And all it does is it goes out, pulls the headers. If you want to read it, it'll leave the message on the host. When you get home, it's still there. But you put the disk into the floppy drive at a coffee shop, an internet coffee house, or Kinko's, or wherever. Check your email on the road. It's still there when you get home. You can delete it and delete it off the host if you want to. But for just a quick check of the email and see what's important and what you can handle later, it's wonderful stuff.
How would you spell that?
D-O-K-O-M-I.
Sounds good.
And it's some Japanese stuff, and if you forget the I, you get the Japanese version on the same disk. The newer version that's out there is Windows and or uses Explorer type interface, and it's a little harder to maneuver. I like the older one myself. And I can just get somebody set up and they can just basically use their POP3 account. It's really cool.
Sounds very cool.
Yeah.
Another question. Were you ever involved in the DBS scene?
Well, back in New York City, I would log into various BBSs, even Modem Over Manhattan when that was going, and a couple of things. I didn't really run a BBS at that time. Just before I left New York, I helped establish a BBS called Unitex, United Nations Information Transfer and Exchange. Well, what do you do when you set up a bulletin board? You inform Computer Shopper magazine to put it in the list. So I wrote my letter. Dear Stan, started this BBS. Please, you know, pass it along to your department that handles it, and, you know, send it over to Stan Veit, the editor of Computer Shopper and my former boss at the Computer Mart of New York on 30th Street in Madison. 2 days later, I have an email on the machine. Cheshire, give me a call. I may have some consulting work for you. So I give him a call. The magazine owner was starting up a new business, a database of airplanes for sale. They needed a guy who could take these computer illiterate airplane peddlers, get them online through TimeNet or Telenet to the host computer in Boston on the Delphi system, get them logged in and working off basically a bulletin board, and download the database every 2 weeks to print it out, send to the guys who weren't online. They have a printed publication as well. Well, went down for a couple of days consulting and stayed with the company for 3 years. That's when I moved to Florida, because they were based in Titusville, Florida. The only part of Florida I would ever consider moving to, because it was the only part of Florida I ever flew to. Why? To watch launches. And so that's why I moved there. Just the old space cadet in me. And eventually left my own area code.
Awesome. Another question for you, too, is last time I saw the manual, which is a while ago, mm-hmm. he was duking it out with the MPAA folks.
Yes.
What's the latest story on that, man?
I'm not the one to keep up on that because, as I say, I live in Florida. He's in New York. There are others here at the convention who can give you a much better view of that. What I understand is that he has so far lost and that he's on appeal. Listening to the speaker downstairs talking about the Millennium Digital Copyright Act, there's a lot of gray area in this act, and a lot of places where the courts really don't know how to go. So while this judge was particularly friendly to the prosecution, it may or may not have been ruling strictly to the law, because the gray areas are just too fuzzy. That's mostly my humble opinion, but...
So hopefully the appeal will dig that up. And
it's going to be interesting. There's... I am not the expert on this subject at all, even from the standpoint of what's happening in 2600 or the law itself. It looks pretty murky, especially after that talk I heard this morning.
Another fun topic is, you know, the pirate radio stations and how their FCC was trying to release it so people could do micro stations and stuff like that. But I don't know if you have you ever dealt with pirate radio or radio?
I really haven't. I've looked into it. I picked up a couple copies of the Low Power magazine. We had to see them at H2K last year. Yeah, that was cool. Because I would like to get a low power radio station to put on the Space Coast in Titusville so we can grab the NASA feed and put it over the radio for people.
Wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Because right now the local stations will come up about 3 minutes before launch. They will stay until just after the solid rocket boosters drop off. Mm-hmm. And then resume regular programming. Because mm-hmm. once the solids drop off, they're safe. For all intents and purposes. Even if they have to do a return to launch site, the solids are gone. That's the only real worry. On the Space Coast, there is hope after hope that funding can be found for returnable solid rocket boosters, what are called flyback boosters. There are drawings, there are posters even, they've made with artist conceptions. Basically, a solid rocket booster with wings on it. After it drops off, it is then an RPV, a remotely piloted vehicle, that simply flies back to the shuttle landing strip.
Right.
And then you reload it with your liquid fuels, and it's ready for the next shuttle flight. You save buku bucks with this. But getting funding started to get the development articles built, that's where it is. But the current solid rocket boosters are in production. That's the trick. And so trying to push established technology out of the way for new technology, that's where the budget crunch comes in.
Any insights into what NASA's up to and space program?
Well, it's being shaken very hard by the space station. Since Congress is saying, since the President is saying, cut some of your losses and don't send so much hardware up, the problem is this is the hardware needed to actually establish science on the space station. Three people on space station keeps the station going. Once this infrastructure is in place, you then have to have room for three or four more people to live on the station who can then do the science. That's where we are right now. We have to have a return vehicle in case of an emergency where these people can fly back. They've got the Soyuz as a backup now. We need something a little bit larger for a scientific crew to be able to jump in, punch the button, and then fly back. That will get us going very well.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you'd like to mention or talk about?
Oh, I think we've hit the high points. I've had my ego trip on the area code. Looking over your zine got me thinking back about my science fiction youth, and perhaps putting space.launch.info into the zine stream. And I've been thinking of trying for mail order subscriptions. It just haven't gone through that much hassle yet. But I do prepare them every flight, just to sell to the locals that come by and the tourists that get dragged in by the tour buses. Visit spaceyideas.com and you'll find links to the launch FAQ. If you're coming to Florida, find that. It's got the link to Spaceview Park, which is the front row if you haven't got a NASA pass. But you're right in Titusville, 10 miles across from the launch pads. A NASA pass will get you 7 miles from the launch pad, and that 3 miles doesn't make that much difference. But once it launches and the traffic is trying to get out, we are that much closer to the interstate. We can't get that down faster.
I've never seen a launch this.
It's definitely worth the trip.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I suggest is plan your trip with the launch as the first thing you are arriving to attend. Then if it slips a couple of days, you then go do your tourist trip, and hopefully they haven't pushed off beyond the end of your vacation. You still have a chance to come see a launch.
The grand, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a P.O. box, too? Or
yes. It's spaceyideas.com, P.O. Box 6841, Titusville, Florida, 32782. And, of course, if you really need to reach me, simply dial 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
That's awesome. Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.